The reading this morning, or the first reading this morning, is from Psalm 112. You can find it in the Bibles on page 592 in the Old Testament section, page 592. And I'm reading the whole of the psalm. Blessings of the righteous. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm actually going to start this sermon just by reading a few verses from Matthew 6 as well, because we're going to talk about prayer and fasting. And so often we might neglect the Psalms, so it's really good to hear them and put them into context. I'm actually reading from the NIV because the wording just makes a little bit more sense to me. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so what you are giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Father God, please open our minds and our hearts to what you are saying to us. Please take these words, teach us new things, and teach us your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder when you hear the words prayer and fasting, what you think of. If Christ is at the center of our lives, then prayer will be central to us. Sometimes, and frequently, I pray as I am. I wake up in the morning and I thank God for the start of a new day. When I'm driving or walking somewhere, I might pray about where I'm going or the situation that I'm going to. But we must also have some structured prayer and depth to our prayer life. I long to go deeper and deeper in my being with God. This is through prayer, through reading God's word, and through other disciplines. I like using different traditions of prayer. I find that for me, it's good discipleship to be able to pray from my heart, asking the Holy Spirit to fill me and lead me in my prayers, but also to be able to practice some more traditional forms at times, such as morning and evening prayer. And then there's tongues and there's lectio and there's all sorts of other ways to pray. If our lives are focused on Christ and prayer is central, then this will overflow into our lives. Prayer is not a 2-minute dialogue with God at the end or start of reading our Bible for 5 minutes at the beginning of the day. And it shouldn't be a list of personal things. There are various resources if you need a little bit more encouragement. And there's also some resources now for the middle of the day, because sometimes that's when we need to draw back to God. Lectio, an app for your phone, now has midday prayer. And if you don't like apps, this is still available on Amazon for $5.99. Midday and night prayer. And that can be really helpful just to refocus in the middle of the day. So the psalmist is secure in his knowledge of the Lord. He knows and understands what he believes and who he is. The habit of generosity comes from within our heart. And I read a little bit on this psalm by Lucy Winkett, and she says, "And we will learn moment by moment, gift by gift, that all we have is God's." The psalm talks of giving to the needy, but what makes us generous? It's how we live our whole life with Christ at the centre that makes us a generous, loving person who soaks themselves in prayer and disciplines themselves. We hear today about being generous. God has been so generous to us. There is nothing we can do to deserve his generosity. It's a free gift. And should we not be generous to God and to others? Not out of a sense of feeling good, or in some cases looking good, but because we love God with all of our hearts and we desire to be generous. We will want to give our tithes and offerings and help those in need. We will want to be generous through our time, through prayer, and we will want to discipline ourselves before God. This includes fasting. Because of our love for God, we should not feel burdened to live as a Christian, but we should be a person of prayer, overflowing with Christ, because our roots are in Christ. And we are unconditionally forgiven. So these things will just spring out of us. Think about Job for a minute. He had all the qualities listed in verse 1, but he suffered greatly. Having a godly character did not prevent suffering, but his faith allowed him to grow in grace. Job had a conversation with God throughout the story of Job, and he did not say, "Well, things are going wrong for me, so I'm not going to bother anymore. I'm not going to live my life of faith. I'm not going to talk anymore." Christians who are strong in their faith do not have to worry about everything that could happen. If our roots are strong, we will not get flung around when the storm comes. If we seek God and take time to be with him, there will be blessings for others around us. If our life at home does not demonstrate our faith, then it won't out in public either. There is much selfishness, and we are now living in a culture of, "I want this now, and I want this my own way." The Bible does not talk about isolated believers, unless, of course, they are in prison. It talks about them meeting together to encourage each other, to build each other up, to pray and worship together. We all need each other. And we can achieve so much more as a team. And remember, there is no I in team. If you were here Ash Wednesday in the morning, you would have heard me say this. Now imagine you fancy eating a jacket potato and you're planning what your topping is, you're cooking it thoroughly, you're really looking forward to eating it. And then you slice into it and there's this great big black, disgusting, not very nice to eat lump in the middle. And disappointment fills you up. Is that how we are as a Christian? Do we walk round like we're prayerful and we're generous, but inside we're not like that at all? In reality, are we bitter and angry and therefore unable to turn our hearts to Christ? I don't know if you know, but Susanna Wesley, the mother of Charles and John Wesley, had 19 children to look after. When she wanted to pray, she would take her apron off and put it on her head. Everybody knew that she was praying and studying God's word and that she was not to be disturbed. In that chaos all around her, she found space to be with Jesus. And I wonder how often we make excuses that we're too busy or it's too noisy. What are our priorities? Who or where are our eyes fixed? God wants us to choose to worship him freely. Are our eyes leading us in the right direction? Have we got our eyes fixed on Jesus? And what are our priorities? I'm actually not that good about fasting without food because I just feel faint. But I do consciously make time for prayer in the day. And at other times I do fast, but by eating a little bit of fruit and veg along the way. And then I give that time to God and those thoughts to God, because it's not about me, it's about him. But we have to decide what fasting means for us. And do you know those people in Lent who say they're not eating their chocolate bar today because it's Lent, and then they have a bag of crisps? And you just think, come on, what is the point in that? What difference will that really make? And I know people who will fast from the TV and their phones and social media so that they can give that time to God. So going without food or anything else is not fasting unless it's done from the right heart. Fasting does help us to discipline ourselves and it helps us to journey with God. It's a time to devote ourselves to God in worship. Everything we do should be for the glory of God. It isn't about us, it's about God. Jesus died for us, and we can't earn that salvation through good works, through prayer, through fasting, singing praises to God, or anything else. We need to accept that Christ died for us and spend each day drawing close to him in words and prayers and seeing where he leads us. In my experience, this is not where I think it will be. And I have a picture from a friend. It's actually on my desk in the office now. And it says, write your plans in pencil and give God the rubber. If we are truly open to Christ, his love will spread from us to those around us and we will be generous. God requires us to be honest, to be sincere in all that we do. If we look at the Pharisees, they were religious. They had lots of rules, but they used religion to hide their sins. They wanted approval of men. They were not worshipping God. Giving, praying, and fasting were all important to the Pharisees. Jesus did not condemn these, but cautioned the followers to do these things from a heart of love, love for God and love for others. Even a good thing like giving money to the poor can become a sin if we do it with the wrong attitude. So what's the motive behind all that we do? If you remember, the followers did bring money to the disciples and they laid the money at their feet. So it wasn't a secret. But look what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they tried to use gifts to make people think that they were more spiritual than they were. Their hearts were not genuine on the inside. It was an act, and they paid the price for their dishonesty. There are examples of people in the Bible, including Jesus, who go off to pray privately. Yes, we should pray together corporately. And when we come together, it might be that one of us is praying out loud. It might be that we all join in, but those prayers are from all of us. And we must be able to pray on our own through the Holy Spirit as well. Now, I like going on little trips. And one day recently, I saw this book in Liverpool Cathedral. It was written this year, or published this year, and it's called Inspired: Stories of Adventure, Risk-Taking, and God's Faithfulness. And it's lots of short stories, and I'd really recommend it. So what struck me was how people who shared these stories suffered so much, but all knew what they were doing abroad was for God, and it was what God had called them to do. It struck me how they used prayers and fasting and saw some amazing miracles. So Simon Guilliboard was finishing at Theological College. He'd been praying for months, "Here I am, Lord, I'll do anything for you." He describes a resounding silence. He felt that time was running out. "Lord, come on, I'm serious. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I don't want security. I just want to be in your will. That's the safest place to be." He was handed a piece of paper with a number written on it. And when he rang it, the mysterious man wanted to meet the next day. He said he was from Mid-Africa Ministry and believed that Simon was being called to Burundi. A little while passed and as Simon prayed and fasted, and he said, "So please, as I fast and pray today, give me a radical sign right now in front of this computer about Burundi to justify such an extreme life-changing decision." The ball was back in God's court. Not long later, out of the blue came a call. "Do you know anyone who wants to work in Burundi?" It's a short story, but one that is full of danger. And yet God has used Simon. He was all a part of his plan. It took prayer, fasting, and a great amount of faith. If you see fasting as going without food, with the intention of fasting, is it genuine? A friend of mine works with someone who's a Christian. She's an OT, occupational therapist. And every Lent, her friend gives up eating during the daytime and only eats in the evening. But as a result, she's irritable with everybody at work and snaps at her colleagues and then tells them it's because she's fasting. They're not impressed. And I certainly don't see that as a way to share God's love. So let's just think about our motives, and are we doing this for the right reason, and how are other people seeing that if they are seeing it? I just want to finish with a quote again from Simon's book. So he's lived and worked in Burundi for many years and he's faced so much danger. But what he says is, "How far is too far when Jesus stretched out his arms wide on the cross and went that far for us?" Amen. Shall we move into a time of prayer? Father God, we pray for the world, our communities, and ourselves. Our hearts just break. They feel so heavy, and we cannot imagine what other people are going through in the world. We pray, Lord, for countries affected by war and conflict. We lift them before you. We pray, Lord, that love would override. We pray that governments would have conversations that lead to peace. We pray for reconciliation. We especially think of Ukraine, of Israel, Gaza, and the whole of the Middle East. We pray for Sudan, Myanmar. And we pray for areas affected by climate change, where there is a lack or no food at all, where whole rivers have become dry, or where floods cause devastation or fires. We pray that you would help each one of us to consider what we can do with our impact on the environment. Lord God, we pray for those in the UK that have been affected by devastating floods the last couple of days. We pray you'd be with all those who've lost so much, who are living in temporary accommodation. And we pray that you would be with councils and the Environment Agency as they try to put things right. We pray for refugees and asylum seekers living among us. We pray, Lord, for love. And we pray for the government to have wise policies. We pray for those affected by the cost of living crisis, those who cannot afford any food or the power to heat it or warmth for their homes. We pray for those who don't have anywhere to call home. We think of those who are living on the streets. Those who have fought wars for us, who have nowhere to go now. We lift all these people before you. Father God, we pray for our government that they would lead with integrity. We pray for our king and the royal family. We pray that you would guide and lead them. We pray for our bishops, Mark, Julie, and Sam. We pray that they would work to glorify your name and that this diocese would flourish in sharing your love with others. Father, we pray for our church PCC meeting tomorrow evening. We pray that you would guide us. We pray for the building project and for the next steps. We think of Michael and Angela, who are getting married here on the 29th of November, and pray that you will be at the centre of their wedding plans and their marriage. Father God, we lift all those before you who are sick. We pray for Flora, Henny's niece, who's only 24 and has a brain tumour. Pray that you would give the doctors wisdom. We pray for Lorraine's daughter Claire as she recovers from heart surgery. We pray for all those who are part of our church who are now in care homes or not able to come because they can't get out of home. Pray that you would be with each one of them, and thank you, Lord, for all that they have done. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for Brian, and he has specifically asked for prayers to thank God for all that he's done for his health and his heart. So we pray that you would be with him too. Lord, we pray for those who feel lonely and isolated, those who have physical pain, those recovering from illnesses. We think of those who have addiction, abuse survivors, and those who are still suffering from abuse. Lord, we pray for all who have recently lost loved ones, and we pray for Joan Buchanan after losing her oldest son, Ian, this week. Father God, we thank you that you are with each one of us. And we pray that as we look to this week, you will help us to reconsider what our disciplines in you are. Help us to go deeper into you in prayer, to read your word and study it, and to fast and do whatever else you are asking us to do, Lord, to draw us closer to you. And please take us out to the people and the places where you want us to go. Help us not to be afraid to speak about you and about our faith. Help us to never be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we finish with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.